The establishment of Christian Orthodox monasteries in the later imperial Russia in the immediate years before and after the cholera epidemics and their position on the geographic map. They say that there are no atheists in the foxholes, and this holds true about deadly epidemics as the resultant casualties and pain of bereavement force people to ponder on the questions of life after death, life priorities, and the meaning of life. While such spiritual topics might seem exclusively material beyond the reach of scientific research, this can be indirectly quantified by looking at the number of religious buildings built in the immediate years after the epidemics. In this podcast, we shall compare the number of monasteries built in Russia in the first 3 years before and after each cholera outbreak, their location, ethnographic map, and see what kind of data we can extrapolate. Did the Russian people build more monasteries after the epidemics? Did they build only on Russian populated lands? Or did they also build in provinces where Russians were not the dominant ethnic group? Monasticism in Russia began 63 years after the baptism of the Rus, when in 1051 St. Anthony relocated from Mount Athos to Ukraine, where he established the Kiev Cave Monastery. This great monastic center powerfully resonated in the Russian people, and soon monasteries started springing up throughout Russia. Monastery building kept unabated until the very end of the Romanov dynasty, by which time a total of 844 monasteries had been founded. Interestingly, 145 monasteries, or about 17%, were established in the 19th century, which was rocked by the cholera epidemic. Cholera is such an ugly and deadly disease that caused blind terror and hysteria to the Russian people. The acute intestinal zooanthroponotic infection is caused by the Vibrio cholera bacterium that damages the small intestine, characterized by watery diarrhea and vomiting, killing half its victims within 48 hours due to the rapid loss of body fluids and electrolytes. Historically, cholera was an endemic disease of the Indian subcontinent. However, thanks to a chain of climatic factors, the rise of international commerce, and the transportation innovation instituted by the British Empire, the disease escaped its traditional geographic confines and caused seven pandemics that terrorized the populations of the earth. In Russia, due to her increased tempo of military expeditions, participation in international trade, and religious pilgrimages, six of the seven pandemics occurred during the reign of the last four Romanovs, from Alexander I to Nicholas II, making the disease a constant fixture in the Russian world, causing a total of 5.5 million cases and approximately 2.2 million deaths. The first outbreak occurred in 1823 and then reappeared in 1829, 1852, 1865, 1892, and 1901. While charged medical and industrial developments gradually set scientific institutional framework for the combating of the disease, its rapid onset, significant mortality, violent spasms, and the copious amounts of malodorous bodily discharges made the disease particularly disagreeable. Thomas Mann, for example, in his Death in Venice, used cholera as a metaphor for the bestial degradation of sexual promiscuity. Incidentally, despite facing imminent death, Mann writes that his protagonist, Gustav von Asenbach, experienced no religious conversion and remained in repentance of his pedophiliac homoerotic proclivities. Can we see this in the Russian case? Did the Russian people remain different to things divine in the face of death? Or did this scary epidemic cause a turn to God? As a way to quantify this, we shall compare the number of monasteries founded in Russia 3 years before and after each outbreak and see if there was any meaningful increase. In addition, we shall also explore the location of these monasteries on an ethnographic map to explore the relation between Russians and the other ethnic groups. The first outbreak occurred in 1823, first appearing in Astrakhan, with an unknown number of deaths, probably because the disease was almost unknown, so the population lacked any rationale to explain the symptoms. In the 3 years prior to the outbreak, three monasteries were founded, in St. Petersburg, Kaluga, and Saratov, while only one monastery was founded within 3 years of the outbreak. Interestingly, as the ethnographic map informs us, the Saratov monastery was built in Tatarland, indicating stable relations between Christian and Muslim population in the region. The second outbreak occurred in 1829 and lasted until 1849, first appearing in Orenburg, registering 500,000 cases and 230,000 dead, and causing vicious riots due to panic to the disease and reaction to sanitary measures. Paradoxically, no monasteries were founded before or after the outbreak. In Russia, the third outbreak occurred in 1852 and lasted until 1859 and is considered the most extensive and deadliest of all, with over 1.5 million cases and 700,000 dead. Before the attack, seven monasteries were founded in Crimea, Moscow, Samara, Tambov, and Ufa. Yet, only two after the outbreak, in Novgorod and Orenburg. Interestingly, four of the nine of these monasteries were built in predominantly Muslim areas. The fourth epidemic took place between 1865 and 1873 and was facilitated by the opening of the Suez Canal that provided an expedited infection route between India and Europe. In Russia, it entered from Constantinople, getting 600,000 people sick and killing at least 240,000. Before the outbreak, six monasteries were established, with only two in predominantly Russian lands. After the outbreak, six more monasteries were founded, five in Russian lands. The fifth epidemic was notable for not starting in India, but in Egypt. It hit Russia in 1892, sickening 600,000 people and killing half of them, sparking more riots across Little Russia. Nine monasteries were founded prior to the outbreak, with nine in ethnic Russian lands and one in Bohemian lands. After the outbreak, eight more monasteries were founded, with seven ethnic lands and one among the Kamchatdalers in the Far East. Like almost all previous outbreaks, the sixth pandemic originated in India, but it gained notoriety for spreading in all continents except Antarctica. The epidemic reached Russia in 1901 and persisted for over two decades, though case numbers are hard to decipher because of the chaotic wartime and revolutionary conditions. Because of these factors, I have elected not to document these years. In total, 43 monasteries were founded in the immediate years before and after the outbreaks, with a vast majority actually preceding the attacks. Thus, one might be tempted to claim that cholera caused a drop in spirituality. Still, considering how closely the outbreaks followed one another, it is practically impossible to exclude the fear of death from the blossoming of monasticism in 19th century Russia. In fact, a correlation between these two can be hinted at by the fact that out of the 145 monasteries established in the 19th century, an astonishing 126 were founded in the second half when cholera became an almost permanent fixture of Russian life. What is also interesting is the location where these monasteries were founded. Predictably, the vast majority, 32 out of 43, were built in lands where Russians were the predominant ethnic group. What is pleasantly surprising is that six monasteries were built in Muslim lands, three in Bohemian lands, and one in the Far East among the Kamchatka natives. Looking at the Christian monasteries among the Muslim lands, we see that these were established between 1852 and 1865, perhaps indicating a golden age of coexistence between Christians and Muslims that set the foundation for the Jadidism Islamic Reformation. This, of course, casts doubts on the widely held stereotype that all Muslims are fanatically disposed against other religions and incapable of harmonious coexistence. Was there any imperial force used to keep Muslims quiet? The available historical record generally denies this. This begs the question, how were these monasteries able to survive economically in the absence of a large patronage basis? Undoubtedly, many monasteries have had wealthy Russian benefactors that made sizable contributions. However, generally speaking, monasteries survive on a continuous stream of the widow's mites. Did the local Muslim population provide any financial assistance? In closing, one cannot fail but be impressed by the blossoming of Orthodox Christian monasticism in the second half of the 19th century Imperial Russia. These 50 years saw the creation of 16% of all Russian monasteries.